Okay, I made it back. Yes, you never know what's going to happen with live radio, and sometimes things get your attention and hold you back. Anyway, you're listening to Cross the Border, and we're at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're talking about how we're supposed to act. How we're supposed to operate in our called-out assemblies, the way it should be and the way it shouldn't be. And the way it shouldn't be is that one-man show, and perhaps you have the one-man show, and then you have the orchestra and the perfect singers on the other side, and no one is able to stand up when the preacher is preaching, and, you know, if something's revealed to them. Oh, well, that's not the pattern we see here being laid down by our good friend Paul as to how we're supposed to operate. Let the prophets, preachers you could put in there, speak, two or three. Let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion. And I think basically what he's saying here is that you're subject to each other when you come together, basically. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So we hear this a lot. This phrase taken from this verse, we hear it a lot, but rarely do we hear it in the context of confusion. I mean, in the context of the scripture where it's given. And we really need to hear it in this context. We really need to develop this pattern, especially if you go to home church. And I believe this would stop a lot of the denominationalism that arises, a lot of the sectarianism, because if you're sitting up there and you got, you know, three, four men sitting up there prophesying, discussing the Word of God, sharing things out of the Word of God, commenting, and they're using the book, and everyone can judge in the congregation whether it's out of the book or not. You got to have the law of God, the Word of God, and that's the final word. That's the final say. Does what the man that is preaching, the man that is prophesying at the moment, does it line up with the Word of God? And so we have this kind of a, check and balance, so to speak, that the other ones who are as learned, more learned, or at least perhaps more learned in whatever is being discussed at that time, or they see something contrary from the scripture, they're to bring it out. And that way, you don't have a one-man show and where only one man really knows the Bible, or if anyone else in the congregation doesn't know the word, he doesn't have the opportunity to speak about it, because, you know, so they'd start pointing and the ushers would come and shut him up or kick him out or something if he speaks out of turn, because, you know, it's the one-man show. The preacher has his turn, and that's pretty much it. They don't have the opportunity, especially in the mega churches, where everybody can speak. And some of them are so big that not everybody could hear you anyway. I don't see this pattern of mega churches anywhere in the scripture. Because remember, they were meeting from house to house. If a congregation gets too big, perhaps you should think about splitting the congregation up, saying, you know, let's split it up. Let's keep the congregation small. We're meeting from house to house. We'll continue here. Oh, and here's a very controversial one in the spirit of the age, the spirit of Jezebel, which dominates in the church, in chapter 14, verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And this is part of what some will label as Pauline doctrine to be rejected. And sometimes they love Paul and sometimes they hate him. It's where they feel that Paul gives them license that they love him, but a lot of times Paul brings in the law of God and they don't like it. And it goes back to what we talked about last time when we talked about our Heavenly Father's kingdom government for family, that everyone has their place. Men are not better than women, just as oranges are not better than apples. They are just different, and they have their different place. And it's just as much of a burden or for a man to exercise his authority as it is for a woman to be in subjection or under obedience to her husband, because the man has to be under obedience to Christ. And when he steps out of his lawful authority, then he is as much in the wrong as a woman who rules her household. So men have to step up and be men. And like I said, even when you in the congregation, you can't just be a slacker all week. You got to be in the Word, meditate on it. You have to sing praises and melody, and you get put off all that romantic idolatry, the idolatry of romance music that most people listen to. That's not what we're supposed to be listening to. How are you going to bring a song if all you've been singing is, you know, some romantic song all week that you've been listening to on the radio at work? And this, you know, the pop romance idolatry song. How are you going to bring a psalm? How are you going to bring praise? You're meditating on the wrong thing all week. Turn that garbage off. Repent of that and meditate on His Word and on praise to Him. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Let them ask their husbands at home. And well, see, this is as much an obligation for the men or the husbands, because the husband has to have an answer. The woman is commanded to ask her husband at home. This means that the man is commanded to have an answer for his wife. The man is commanded to open the Word of God at home. If his wife has an answer, he can't put her off. He can't say, well, you know, look it up yourself or whatever. He is commanded here to open the Bible with his wife and search it out if that's what he has to do, if he doesn't have the answer. But she is to look to him as her, the priest of their household. That's right. The man is the priest of his own household. And the wife is to look to the husband. And there's a lot more. That means that the wife in that way honors her husband, as the scripture says. So meditate on that one for a while. And Paul continues, it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. So if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And why is it a shame for women to speak in the church? Well, they dishonor their husband for one thing. They're not honoring their husband in his place in the kingdom government that our Heavenly Father has established for families. They're not honoring the husband, their husband, as the head of their home, as the priest of their household. That's why it is a shame. And they shame their husband by doing that. And it's the same thing that goes to the head covering. When a woman doesn't wear a head covering in the congregation and she's sitting next to her husband, she's shaming her husband, because she's not putting herself, she's not wearing that outward sign that she is under the kingdom authority in her household, that she is usurping that authority. And you'll find that, yes, you'll have a very strong woman that is ruling in her household. And I say that to the shame of a lot of ladies, and perhaps some that are even listening to this broadcast, but it's here. Now listen to what Paul says. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You want to be stupid? Then Paul says, hey, if you don't want to hear it, then you won't hear it. I can preach the message. If you don't want to hear it, I'm going to just let you be ignorant. You know, don't try to convince them. They hear the message, and if they want to go off and they want to allow their wives to rule their house, they don't want to be the priest of their household, they don't want to bring a message, they don't want to sing a psalm, they don't want to meditate on the word and make a melody in their heart to Yahuwah, our Creator. They would rather sing romantic songs of idolatry all week long and forget about His word. Let them go down to the corporate church. Let them go in there and be entertained. Let them go in there and have no part of it, but to stare at the back of someone else's head while the entertainment goes on up there on the stage. Because they are bankrupt. They've got nothing to give. No wonder they go into these churches and practice idolatry. No wonder their Christ is still hanging on a cross. Because He died for their sins, but they don't give a damn. They still want to practice their sins. They still want to practice their idolatry. And I'm not just talking about the RCC. I'm talking about all the Protestant daughters, now called evangelical and ecumenical. They've just joined themselves back to the whore. Now listen to what Paul says here after he says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You don't want to hear this message, you just want to hear it and then put it off and say, yeah, that doesn't apply to me. You know, head covering says, that was, you know, it doesn't matter what the scripture says. You know, that's just, people will look at us. Why, what would people think if I make my wife, command my wife to be under my authority, to wear the outward sign, even to the angels, that she is in submission to our Heavenly Father's kingdom government for family. Yes, what would the other people think? And that's really what it gets down to, and why most people don't worry. I mean, won't be obedient to the command here. It's because they're worried about what other people will think. It doesn't matter what our Heavenly Father commands. It doesn't matter whether we're obedient to Him or not. But what will other people think? What will the other women say? Yes, what will they say? Let's worry about that, right? Let's not worry about obedience to our Heavenly Father. Now, I want you to listen to what Paul says hereafter. He says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And that's a powerful statement when you meditate on that one for a while. Because if people don't want to hear it, they shut their minds up, they made up their minds. They don't care what the Word of God says. They want to hold on to their ignorance because they feel justified. If I don't know, or ignorance is bliss, let me hold on to my ignorance. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, let all things be done decently and in order. He says, what came the word of God out of you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And that's, I kind of skimmed over that. But listen to what Paul says here. I guess I must have missed that verse. But this is powerful. He says, you think you're a prophet? You think you have the word of God? You think you have the testimony of Jesus Christ? Because that's what he's saying. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, you think you're spiritual? Let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's right. And all of these things, from head covering to how we're to operate in our assemblies that I just went through, he says these are the commandments. These are commandments. Yes, we have commandments here in the epistle. We have commandments in the New Testament. These are the commandments of the Lord. You know what Yahshua, Jesus said? He said, if you love me, you do the things I say. If you love me, you keep my commandments. These are the commandments of the Lord. I can see why people want to throw it out, why they want to throw out the so-called, and they call it the Pauline doctrine. Some people reject outright the writings of Paul. And I'll tell you why they outright reject the writings of Paul, because they are under the influence of the Jezebel spirit of the age. What is the Jezebel spirit of the age? You know, how could we depict that? Perhaps the Queen of Heaven. You know, any goddess worship is the embodiment of the Jezebel spirit of the age. If any man think, so I love the way that Paul ends this teaching on our conduct in the assembly, in the called out assembly, in the ecclesia, or they use the word church. And I don't like to use the word church when I'm doing this type of teaching and covering this kind of ground in the scripture, because people automatically think of, you know, as we were taught when we were young, you know, you put your hands together, this is the church, this is the people, and open the doors and see all the people. You remember you did the little thing with your hands to indoctrinate you that the church is not the people, is not the called out assembly, the separated people of our Heavenly Father, but it's the building, and there's people in it. That's right, and it has a steeple. What's that symbolic of, I wonder? If you listened to the program before this one, you'd know exactly what it's symbolic of. How did he put it? The missing member of Osiris. Just saying that makes me cringe. So if you think you're, come on, all you out there, you think you're a prophet, you think you have the testimony of Jesus Christ, you have the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah, you think you do? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet, and we've defined prophet by the scripture, having the testimony of Jesus Christ from the authorized version, or spiritual, any man think himself to be spiritual. There's a lot of them out there that think they're spiritual. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. And in context, it's all these things that we've just talked about. These are the commandments. So ladies, you know, how do you get around that one? How do you continue to go into the congregation with your head uncovered? How do you continue to speak out in the congregation and overrule your husbands? How do you do it? Gee, Paul must have just been kidding. You know, maybe these weren't really the commandments of the Lord. And then after that, Paul says, well, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, we're going into our break here. We'll be back after the news, so don't go anywhere.